Time for our gospel reading. Please stand, if you are able. Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which meant twin, one of the 12 disciples, was not with them, the disciples, when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Knock, knock. Al. That's what I'll say. Yes. Al. Whoo. Ah, boy. Tough crowd. Yeah, it's just. A kindergarten teacher gave her class a show and tell assignment of bringing something to represent their religion. The first boy got in front of the class and said, "My name is Benjamin, and I am Jewish, and this is the Star of David." The second boy got in front of the class and said, "My name is Mary. I am Catholic, and this is the crucifix." The third boy got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Tommy, and I'm a Methodist, and this is a casserole." Okay. A friend was in front of me coming out of church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door, as he always is, to shake hands and to give hugs. He grabbed my friend by the hand and pulled him aside, and the pastor said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." And my friend replied, "Why, I'm in the army already, pastor." And the pastor said, "How come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter?" And he whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service." One Sunday, a pastor told his congregation that the church needed some extra money and asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate. He said that whoever gave the most would be able to pick out 3 hymns. After the offering plates were passed, the pastor glanced at them and noticed that someone had placed a $1,000 bill in the plate. He was so excited that he immediately shared his joy with the congregation, and he said he'd like to personally thank the person who had placed that money in the plate. And there sat our little Rosie all the way in the back, shyly raised her hand. The pastor asked her to come front, and slowly this wonderful old lady made her way to the pastor. The pastor told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much, and in thanksgiving asked her to pick out 3 hymns. Her eyes brightened as she looked over the congregation, pointed to the 3 most handsome men in the building, and said, "I'll take him and him and him." Yeah. That's from a site called Clean Church Jokes. It doesn't say they're good, but it does say they're clean. You know, as a kid, I loved being scared. I really did. It was so much fun. Creepy, huh? Yeah, I loved being scared, and I loved scaring people. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I would watch all the movies about werewolves and Frankenstein and about vampires. Oh boy, vampires! I'd go to sleep with the covers pulled up around my neck, and then I would, as a teenager, I mean, I would scare myself so bad that then I would booby trap my room. And you wouldn't dare walk into my room in the morning. And you'd trip over something or step on something. It drove my mom crazy. But it was fun. And I was the kind of people, the kind of person who would hide behind the door. And when you'd walk by, boop! Man, it would just, you know. And after a couple months of being married, Bonnie said, "That's not funny. If you don't stop, I'll hurt you." And I said, okay. One time as a teenager, we grew up in Port Vue. My dad was a policeman there. He was on patrol. It was after dark. I knew that my mom and my two sisters were home and my little brother. So I climbed up on the porch roof and went in the bedroom window. And then I moved stuff around upstairs, and I was going, oh, yeah. And I could hear them scurrying around downstairs. And then finally they came over into the kitchen at the bottom of the steps. And they said, "We don't know who's up there, but we're going to call the police. You better get out of here." And I came down the steps laughing. They didn't think it was funny. You know. But imagine being with your friends, your best friends. And say there's a group of you and somebody had just killed one of your buddies. Brutally killed one of your buddies. Man, I mean, like, we're talking like, you know, Jason or the, I don't know, the guy that wears the ski mask and the hockey mask and got the chainsaw, he's coming after you. So imagine you're doing that and there's a bunch of you who are hiding in this room. You've got the windows closed and the doors locked. And you're waiting for somebody to rattle the doors. You're afraid they're coming after you. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's somebody standing next to you. They weren't there just a second ago, but all of a sudden they're standing there next to you. Talking about being scared, wouldn't you jump out of your skin? It's no wonder that Jesus said to them, "Peace. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid here. Wait a minute. Look, it's me. It's me. Look at the holes in my hands, the wound in my side." See, because not only did Jesus appear to them right in their midst, even though the doors were locked, it was Jesus. They knew he just died on the cross and was buried. They knew somebody took his body. But all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. Wow. And he didn't even have to come in the doors or the window. He just, talk about being scared. And so Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Takes away their fear. Not funny. They were scared, but definitely overjoyed. One summer night, my friend Mike Majusik, also grew up in Port Vue. We hung out together, did a lot of running around. We were a little ornery at times. We'd run all over the boroughs. We ran all over the place and rode bikes. And one night we were going back to Mike's house, and it was a summer night. It was dark. and we went up Upton Street, and we had to cut through a patch of woods a little bit bigger than this room to get to his mom and dad's house. And as we got to the edge of the woods, Mike ran up the hill into the woods ahead of me. I said, "Come on, Mike, you're not going to scare me. I know you're up here." And so I'm walking through the woods, you know, and the path is clearly marked. It was used a lot. And I'm kind of hesitating because I knew he was going to jump out from behind a bush or a tree. Well, I'll never forget this night because, you know, Mike didn't jump out from behind a bush or tree. He climbed up a tree, and when I passed underneath of him, he reached down and touched my head. And I stood there going like that, and I ran in place about three steps before I took off. Scared the life out of me. It was, I'll tell you what, I laughed and laughed afterwards, but boy, the moment he touched my head, I was scared. It was funny. Thomas wasn't buying what his fellow disciples, his best friends, were trying to tell him. They were saying, you know, listen, Thomas, Jesus was there. He's not alive. Yes, he is. We saw him, and he appeared to us behind locked doors. Just appeared out of nowhere. That, people can't do that. That doesn't happen, and I don't believe it, and I'm not going to believe it until I see the wounds in his hands and put my hand in his side, because that's where the spear cut him, deeply. And a week later, the disciples, still afraid of the Jews, even after having seen Jesus, still afraid of the Jews, still locking the doors, they get together, all these disciples, with Thomas with them, and out of nowhere, Jesus does it again, appears unto them and says, "Peace be with you." I bet they were having a hard time getting used to his new mode of travel. And then Jesus says to Thomas, "Hey, here I am. Here's proof that it's me. Quit doubting and believe." Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." When I tell people about my ear, they always remark about how close it was. You know, that bullet hit me in the chest first and then went through my ear. Close. Yeah, it was close. To me, the most remarkable thing is always the voice. I think the most remarkable thing about this story is the locked doors. Twice Jesus appears to them behind locked doors. He could have appeared to them in the field. He appeared to two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. He could have appeared to the rest of the disciples at some other home somewhere. When they were out fishing. But instead, he chose to appear to them when they were in a house, in a room, behind locked doors. And the Bible makes it real clear that the doors were locked. We need to get excited about this. I'll tell you why. Jesus' resurrection body goes way beyond the laws of nature, the laws of time and physics. It's something new altogether. In Romans chapter 6, Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Scriptures tell us that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed, and we will be made like unto Jesus' own glorious body. I read that at every funeral I do. We're going to be just like Jesus. See, we know the end of the story. We know that the laws of nature, that this world is not our home and it'll no longer pertain to us. We will no longer be held back by the laws of gravity and everything else. Man, things are going to be different. Jesus takes away all these doubts. The Bible makes us a promise that this is what will become of us. We'll be like Jesus. Because we've been saved. Because we've been baptized into Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus. His end becomes our end. That's the Word of God. This world is not our home. There's more to life than what meets the eye. In a small town out in the country, there was a man and woman who had been married for 60 years and never had a disagreement. Never had a disagreement. And they decided to have an open house to celebrate with the community the fact that they'd been married 60 years. Now, they were well-known. They were very popular, well-liked couple. And the local newspaper decided to send a young reporter to get the story on them. And so this young reporter goes to the open house, and there's all this celebrating going on, and he works his way up onto the porch, and he goes over to the older couple sitting there, and he waits his turn, and finally he gets up and he introduces himself, and he says to them, he says, you know, everybody says that you've been married for 60 years and you've never had a disagreement. I find that amazing. Is it true? And the old man says, well, yes, sonny, it is true. And he says, well, what's your secret? Let me share it with our readers. And the old man says, well, I'll tell you. And he says, have a seat. And he says, now, when we got married, he said, we decided to honeymoon in the Grand Canyon. And so we joined a mule team that was going over the Grand Canyon and to camp in the bottom. And so we all got on our mules on the top of the Grand Canyon. He said, and my wife's mule stumbled, and she said, that's once. And then we took the mules and we went over the lip of the canyon, and we were going down these really steep trails. My wife's mule stumbled again, and she said, that's twice. And we got to the bottom of the canyon, and when we were about to get off our mules, and my wife's mule stumbled again, and she said, that's three times. And she got off her mule, pulled a gun out of her purse, and shot that mule between the eyes. And I looked at her, and I said, why did you do that? And she looked at me and said, that's once. 60 years, no arguments. That kind of explains it, you know. The followers of Jesus' lives had changed dramatically. They no longer had to be afraid. No longer had to be afraid. They would face all kinds of persecution. They would be executed in some very cruel ways. Torn apart by wild horses, burned to death, crucified upside down, cut in half, killed with a sword. But they weren't afraid. Jesus had taken away all their doubt and their fear. And there's nothing for us to be afraid of either. No matter what you may be going through, you don't have to live in fear. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. This world is not our home. Maybe you know somebody that's going through a tough time and they need to hear the good news. They don't have to be afraid anymore. Tell them about Jesus. Don't be afraid. God loves you, and so do I.